Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're moving back in the house. And
good deal.
Getting stuff fixed and all of that. So the good news is we're back in the house. Good news is, you know, Chrissy, our daughter, is living with us. She's moved back in.
Good. She's still going to school out there, right?
Senior at Chico State.
Good.
Graduating in May with a degree in psychology.
Fantastic.
And, yeah. So wants to stay, you know, home and do kind of a master's deal. And so this will give her a chance to really do that. And, yeah, so that's good. And it's good to be back in Chico. A lot of friends here. But, yeah, the house is a little bit of a challenge, but as you
you'll
know,
get through
Yeah, you've been through it. You know, I know as an agent working with people who've, you know, owned homes and rented them and all manner of, you know, things happen. But, so anyway, good stuff. How are you doing?
Good deal. Very, very good. Very good. We're going to talk today about radon and if you're buying a house, what you should look for.
Radon,
yes. And we're actually going to have a guest speaker come on in a few minutes who's an expert in radon. He's been in, I mean, an expert. I think he's got, we'll let him tell us. I think it's over 30 years experience. He's been doing this for a long time. And, yeah, some potent stuff you have to be careful of. But there's also ways to cover yourself and protect yourself, which he's going to go into a little bit with us.
It sounds like kind of like sci-fi stuff with radon, you know, the radon gun.
Yeah, I know. You know, it says I'm looking at it started back in, became more prevalent back in the early 80s, and you see a lot of it in many states. The Northeast is very prevalent for it. Yeah. So it's a gas. It's actually found all over the world, and it originates in the rocks found under your house.
Huh.
And but it can cause cancers. It can cause lots of other problems too. So it's not something to ignore. And when you're buying a house, if you're in a region that could have radon, I would highly recommend that you definitely test for radon. Now you're going to be able to see in the studio, and I can't. So let us know when Angelo comes on.
Oh yeah, I bet you bet. And then in the second half hour. Second half hour. I can do that math. Athena Moberg is going to be joining us, and she is with the Maui Business Development Organization. And she is a life coach and entrepreneur herself and very, very involved with the Hawaii Merchants Association and the Maui Business Development Group. And she's going to be kind of just letting us know what's going on over there. Also, kind of in her life, a little bit of her story, because in the second half, we always love hearing people's stories and how they've decided to be, you know, better than average, decided to take that step in whatever arena and become all they can be. And we've talked to some pretty amazing people.
Amazing people. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
So we're going to be doing that. That's coming up in, about 25 minutes or so. And looking forward to that. Weather-wise, what are you looking like where you are? Is it
it's too cold for me. It's way too cold for me. No, it's too cold. No, it's warmed up a little bit, but not much. It's too cold. So, I know, have you had any snow recently?
No, not in Chico. No, it's spring. I think spring is springing here. So it's 70s, mid-70s today and sunny, and I think it's going to be that way most of the week. So we're kind of glad to be down from the cabin and down in the valley here where it's a little warmer.
Good.
Although we miss the deer family, that's for sure, our little deer family that we had.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I believe, Natalie, it looks like we might have Angelo on the line. Let's go to the phone zone and see. Hi, Angelo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes,
beautifully. Thanks, Angelo. Thank you for coming on. Since our topic today is going to be discussing on the first half radon, and you are an expert at this radon. I'm actually looking at your website, avanticonstruction.com, right now as we speak. And Angelo, tell us a little bit about radon and what the dangers are of radon.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit into how it was discovered, and then it can kind of really shed a little bit more light on why it's a danger. Back in 1984, there was a guy who was an electrician, regular schmo, got a job at a nuclear plant in Pennsylvania, went to start his first day on the job, and when he walked into the plant, he set the plant off because his house was so toxic with radon that he was living in a nuclear leak. And that's pretty much what the EPA said, and decided that, okay, if this gentleman had high radon levels, then how many other people in the United States have high radon levels, and hence the radon department started.
Wow. You know, it seems like you a lot of the Northeast is really concentrated. Is it also in many other states as well?
The concentrations basically go across all the 48 states. The only state that we know... I know very little about Alaska, but we know the only state that really has absolutely no radon is actually Hawaii.
Right.
And the only reason is because the state is basically lava. And the process of the volcano and the lava cooks out the uranium that is in the rocks.
Wow, that's good to know. We do a lot in Hawaii. That's really great. That's wonderful. Absolutely. We don't have to – that's not on the disclosure, I guess. I was talking to you yesterday, and you had mentioned something I found interesting, too, is that we were discussing radon in water. So, for example, somebody tests, I think the EPA limit for radon in your house is 4.0 picas, right?
Actually, picocuries per liter, picas. Which is just such an insane way of describing it, but the quick answer there is picos is parts per trillion.
Okay.
Curies comes from Madame Curie, who discovered radium.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, in a liter of air. So literally what they're talking about is four little radioactive chunks, basically, in a liter of air.
Okay. Okay, so that, if you get tested, and if you're a buyer listening to the call, you definitely always should test for radon unless you're in Hawaii. And,
okay.
You know, I mean, really, and 4.0, just to be safe, because the damage that it can do, and I found this interesting in talking to you yesterday, is now some people go ahead when they find radon in the house, then they want to test for radon in the water. And you explained something to me that I thought really made a lot of sense, and I would have never looked at it this way. You were stating the way the levels in the water have to be much, much higher. And I'm assuming, well, if it's in there at all, somebody wants it out of there. But it has to be higher. And you also explained that the radon in the air goes into your lungs, but the water would come through your body in a different way that you're not going to have to worry about it.
Exactly. All right. So let me back up again and let me explain what the damage, where you're getting the damage from, and then it'll be easier for me to explain what you're asking.
Perfect.
All right. So when we look at the radon breathing it in or inhalation, radon starts in the rocks that are directly beneath your soil. Every rock in the world has traces of uranium in it. It is the decay of uranium where we get the radon gas from. Everything decays. As the uranium decays, it takes several processes to go through, but one of them is radon gas. In that gaseous state, it moves through the soil, gains access into your house through cracks, crevices, sump pits, anywhere it can. Where the health effect comes in is this. The way an ice cube comes out of your freezer as a solid but melts down to a liquid, radon comes into your home as a gas but turns into a solid. and you breathe in something called the alpha particle. So there's the alpha, the beta, the gamma rays or X-rays. So when we go back to the 4 picocuries per liter, we're talking about 4 alpha particles in a liter of air. So, all right, keeping all that in mind, now we're going to switch over to the difference between breathing it in versus swallowing it. So inhalation means that now that alpha particle, that chunk of radioactivity, actually lodges and touches human tissue, either in your mouth, throat, nasal passages, or lungs.
Okay.
Where the true damage comes from is it's twofold. First of all, your body gets this chunk and it hits a cell. But the good news is 9 times out of 10, it hits the cell, it kills the cell, and you're fine. The problem is you have to now wait until the alpha particle decays. And when the alpha particle decays, during that decay process, it gives off gamma radiation or little X-rays.
Okay.
So the real damage comes in that it's not only damaging the target cell, but it's now irradiating all the cells directly around the target site.
Wow.
So that's why in the world of contaminants, most of them are set in parts per million, but with radon, it's parts per trillion.
Okay,
Did I set that okay?
It was very, very clear. But the water is not going to be as much of a problem because of the breathing and the way it excels.
Okay, so that's the breathing end of things, and that's why the breathing thing is so critical. Now,
I'm looking on your site, and it's, again, Avanti, A-V-A-N-T-Y, construction.com. We get a lot of listeners also that are going to be listening to the archives, so that's why we want to spell this out too as well. And it says radon's the second leading cause of lung cancer, and that really makes sense as to why you maybe hear people getting it and they never smoked, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Okay,
now,
so over to the water, not to interrupt you, but...
No, that's fine. Over to the water. Now, the difference between the water is, now you're drinking this, okay? And now your GI tract that goes from stem to stern, keeping it clean, is covered with a mucus lining. So those particulates now don't lodge into tissue. They lodge into the mucus lining. And because we go to the bathroom, that lining is constantly shed. So it's not that it's not dangerous. It's just it takes a whole lot more for it to be a problem because now these particulates are stuck in water and you have to grab that chunk of water. There has to be the contaminant in the glass of water you're drinking as opposed to, let's say, taking a shower where you would lose oodles of water.
Right.
So when we talk about the levels pertaining to contamination in wells, we still have a lot of gray areas here. The EPA has still kind of dropped the ball on what they're going to call hot or not, but the equation is that 10,000 picocuries per liter in water will produce 1 picocurie per liter in the air. So most people don't worry about wells under 40,000.
Now,
some states have said that's a little high for our taste. I believe Connecticut has the most stringent, and that's 5,000 picocuries per liter in the water.
Okay.
And that's the highest or the lowest number set in any one state. Maryland right now has nothing set, so I have to go off of the EPA, which would be right now 40,000.
Wow, that's pretty high. I mean, from what I'm hearing, it sounds high to me, but I guess it's not based on what they're saying.
When I look at radon in water, my biggest concern isn't so much drinking it as when you are a person either washing dishes or taking a shower. So here we go with a whole different thing. Okay, so radon is always trying to escape the earth and go up. That's why when your house is set on a chunk of earth, it decays, the gas travels up and gets into your house. Well, because it's trying to escape the earth, it also will travel along with water in aquifers to try to escape the earth. It really doesn't like water, but it does it to try to facilitate easier access to the air.
Okay.
When that water hits the aerator on either your sink or your shower, the water molecule and the radon separate, and now that radon becomes airborne.
So that's
why we are concerned about the level of 40,000, because now we're actually pumping it into the air. And that's why there's been such a
gray area. Do you think 5,000 would be more reasonable, in your opinion, from all the years you've been around it, or what do you think would be a reasonable 10,000?
I would say, my personal, to be honest with you, I am not enough of a scientist to be able to give you anything that I,
okay.
In my
okay.
personal opinion, I don't think I would worry about anything prior to 10,000, but that's just me, that's
right.
my own personal opinion.
Right.
Because these radon systems for water, they're good, but they have some problems. They're clunky, they're expensive, and depending on how much minerals you have in your well water, they can clog and they will need more and more maintenance.
When we discussed this yesterday, you said mentioned that there's just sometimes even higher amounts, or not that high, but in public water, that maybe 1,000, 1,100, 1,200, I mean,
yeah,
public
you
water?
Have to, if you are on city water,
uh-huh.
each municipality will send you a quality, basically, checkpoint that shows you all the contaminants that they're filtering out of your water.
Okay.
And they will show you how much is left when they're done filtering. And one of the things that they will show you is that what your overall radon concentration is. And I am, unfortunately, I haven't had city water now for 13 years. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, but, well, let me ask you, our show goes by so fast on the first half because we've got about 14 more minutes. And
sure.
This is so interesting. I want to mention again, we're speaking to Angelo Bavalto. Bavalta.
It's Bavetta, if you think of
Bavetta.
Like the gun Beretta, but with a V.
Bavetta. Sorry about that. And your website is avanticonstruction.com, and that's A-V-A-N-T-Y, construction.com. Now, somebody's going to buy a house, and I've been in for years and years in the industry, and I've always typically recommend that they get have the radon inspector come in with the equipment to be able to make sure it's really good. Some people say, I'm just going to buy the cheap canisters at the store, mail them off, and see what the levels are. Give us a little bit of your opinion on what you think is the best way to test for radon.
Okay.
If you're buying a house.
Two things. You're right. When we're looking at radon and radon testing in a real estate transaction, it's completely different than a homeowner.
Okay.
In actuality, when we look at the coefficient of error between testing with electronic equipment by professionals or even going to Home Depot and getting a test kit from them, the error is almost identical. Radon if there's any good thing about radon, there's two issues about it. The first one is there is no other substance in the world that mimics it. So
okay.
you can't have paint thinners or garlic or something in the house that's going to artificially give you a higher number. The other piece of the puzzle is, and as an agent, this is critical, when we get a radon test done, if the level comes back at, let's say, a 10,
mm-hmm.
it's very easy to get an artificially low number, but it's impossible to get an artificially high number. So if you have a 10, you might actually have a 12 or a 15.
Okay.
I know you got a 10.
Right.
So it's very rare for there to be any other differences than that. Now, when we talk about the differences between canister tests versus electronic tests, the biggest reason why in a real estate transaction you've got to have the guy with the testing equipment.
Electronic,
The electronic is because people cheat tests.
Okay.
And the electronic testers will tell you they measure a lot of things that the canisters don't. They measure barometric pressure. They measure whether somebody is picking up or moving this thing. They tell you if it's been unplugged. Because with these canisters, they're depending on the person who's testing to be an honest human being.
And that's a shame. It really should be. Well, let me ask you this. I know over the years there's been situations where they said, watch out if the doors are being opened and closed. And there's people that are living in homes. So how does that affect the test? Does that make a difference?
Well, the whole issue behind radon testing is this. We are always trying to mimic the worst-case scenario,
okay.
And the worst-case scenario is winter. The reason that winter is the worst-case scenario is your levels between your summer level and your winter level will literally be 2 to 3 times different.
Really?
Yes. During the summer, you have air conditioning. Air conditioning is cold, it's dense, it sinks to the lowest level in your home, and it actually acts as a cap to help suppress radon levels. But in the winter, that phenomenon flip-flops. Now with cold air outside, hot air inside, the hot air naturally wants to rise up and go through the roof And as it does that, it sucks the radon out from the ground up. So you
wow.
could be, and I've had oodles and oodles of people who've come to me and say, oh, when I had my house tested, I was a 3, and now I'm selling my house, you know, 5 years later, and how am I a 9? And if you go back and you say, when did you buy your house? They say, oh, well, I bought it in June, and now they're selling it in February. And that's
the that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So when we talk about windows and doors, we are trying to do a test during normal living conditions. Obviously, if it's 2 degrees outside, nobody leaves their windows and doors open.
Right. So, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Right. The problem is like right now when we're getting into March and April when, you know, we've been shut up in our house and now we got our first 68-degree day, you want to, you know, open the windows and let all the winter out, and that's when we have problems with people keeping windows and doors shut.
Okay, because I've heard thing over the years where sometimes they want to invalidate the test if the doors were open too much, and it just it makes more sense now after you explain it. Okay, so that, and then the price, because we've got about 10 minutes left, unfortunately, and this is so, there is so much information on your website. Anybody that's listening really, really needs to go there because you explain everything to the T, how it started, what it is, what it costs, what to look for, the amounts. I mean, this is a really great site,
well,
educational. Yeah, and I noticed, okay, so right now, for them to get the test done, it's probably $100, $150 approximately, I guess, around.
It's going to really depend on the area.
Okay.
The two things that I would strongly recommend to anybody who's going to be getting somebody who does a radon test, make sure that the person has been trained and isn't just somebody who's decided to go out and buy test kits or something like that.
Okay.
And now he's a home inspector, and he's just trying to get into the new market of radon. But basically, when you're talking about getting testing, almost all of the better professionals have gone through either some kind of training program. There's a lot of testing companies who will actually test the people and then give them the equipment to do the testing.
Okay. That makes sense. That's really good. And then, okay.
And I was going to say, as far as prices go, I have found most testing falls anywhere between $130 and $250, and if you are in, let's say, the Montgomery County area, you're going to pay probably close to $250. If you're living out on the Eastern Shore, you're probably going to pay more like $130.
Okay, and then say the person, they find that there's definitely a higher than 4.0 pica I was doing it, pica levels, and they're going to need an air mitigation system installed. The average price it says here on your site is between about $800 to $1,100.
Yeah,
and
that's
if,
really a fair. That's a real close. The bottom line is it's almost always right around $900.
You know, it's amazing to me because I remember 20 years ago in the business in Maryland, people paying $800 to $1,000. So I'm really surprised the costs haven't gone up like astronomically when you look at where the economy is. It also says water mitigation systems cost from $2,000 to $6,000 on an average, right? That's
it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's excellent.
Just one last piece if I would like to throw in here. I want to make this very clear to everybody. There is no safe level of radon.
Okay.
Well, and this is the biggest problem that we have with radon is people hear the word 4 picocuries and they think, oh, that's the safe level. It's the maximum contaminant level.
Okay.
And that's a huge difference. So, like, when you hear about mercury in our food,
mm-hmm.
you don't want any mercury. The EPA knows if you eat fish, you're going to get some of it. We just can't help that. But you don't want to eat any more mercury than you absolutely have to. You really don't want to breathe in any more radon than you absolutely have to. We had to draw a line in the sand someplace.
Okay.
I always use the analogy of speed limits. You know, 65 miles an hour might seem to be even slow at some times until the car is starting to spin sideways, and then it's no longer a safe speed.
Right.
So realistically, if you're a person with a lot of cancer in your family or if you're a cancer survivor, you don't want to have any of this at all.
I also noticed one quick thing, because I don't want to mention more, is that if you have a house on slab, can you still have radon? And it says here that, yes, you can.
Yeah, I mean, that is the
it doesn't matter because it's a cracks that they're going to come through or what?
No,
the settlement
it's because
crack?
Maryland, you have to have footers. And
footers
have to go down a minimum of 30 inches. So
okay.
basically, yeah, you're not digging down 8 feet down, but by having those walls into the ground 30 inches, you're still catching it, like taking a cup and flipping it upside down.
You know, it just seems to me that no matter what, if you're buying in any of the states other than Hawaii, it seems to me that it's really worth it, you know, to get a radon test, and the mitigation's not that expensive considering your life, your health, and the cost that you're paying for a house anyhow, right? I would think that it seems like a no-brainer that most people should be getting this tested.
Well, there's one last piece to this puzzle, and I think that when you couple this in with the radon issue, it's a no-brainer. We didn't start to do this. We didn't start to advertise this. This happened to be a byproduct of putting in radon systems. All of a sudden, we noticed that customers were calling us and saying, hey, what did you do to my basement? It used to smell like a stinky, musty basement, and now it doesn't smell like that anymore. What happens is if you are properly installing a radon system, the concept is to remove somewhere around 200 cubic feet of air per minute out from under the slab. When you
really?
Do that, yes, that's the goal. When we do that, we not only remove the radon, but we dramatically reduce the mold, mildew, and moisture in the home.
Wow.
I can remove up to 10 to 20 gallons of water a day out from under your slab.
That's fantastic.
And not only does it do that, but it can actually save you up to 10% on your cooling bills because we take away the humidity load off of the air conditioner.
Wow.
And I got
fantastic.
A whole segment of that on the website there. I have people now who have allergies have me putting on radon systems. They don't even care about the radon. It's because they just can't take the mold spores.
That makes sense. I noticed you have mold on here, too. I said, this is really an interesting site. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially in the winter and people close things up, and it's going to be even worse.
Well, my favorite is when you have people who have dehumidifiers and they have sump pits.
I know.
Well,
or you see a lot of insulation or there's loads of insulation in the ceiling in the basement. It's like making it worse, but yeah.
Well,
but they don't always know.
They don't realize 80% of the moisture is coming in from under the slab. So by taking the dehumidified moisture and dumping it back into the pit, you're basically recycling.
Wow. You know, we're almost running out of time. I also noticed you have on your site for people all across the country, they can find a radon professional in your area, which is
correct.
Which is excellent here, because we have people that listen in from all different areas.
Right, and it's the NEHA organization, who is the governing body right now over us in radon. And if you go to their website, they ask you whether you want testers or mitigators, and then what state, and it'll give you all the qualified people in your area.
Wow, so it's National Radon Proficiency Program. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that government? I wonder if that's government or just somebody just started it years ago. That's amazing.
No, it's actually what it was. It's the EPA. Oh, good God, this is another long story. I'll just make it really, really quick. The EPA budget got slashed, and this was the largest organization in the United States that handles all contaminants from water to asbestos to all of it. So the EPA went from a 3,000-person staff down to a 3-person staff, and all they do now is they watch over NEHA to make sure that they're following the EPA's original guidelines.
Well, that's good to know. So it's not just for radon, because I'm on the section that's just for radon. That's fantastic. Yeah, so this is a wonderful way to protect your family. I mean, when you're going to go in and buy a house and you want to go in, you want to might as well check these things out, because the costs are minimal for what the savings can be in the way of your health and life.
I mean, the last piece of it, for instance, a dehumidifier brand new out of the box will run you $22 a month to run. When the dehumidifier gets to be 5 to 10 years old, it can be as much as $50 a month to run in electricity.
Wow.
A radon system costs you somewhere around $6 to $7 at the most.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you don't have to dump anything. It picks it up in the form of vapor and exhausts it outside.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Amazing.
So, well, we're at the end of our half an hour to go through, Randy. I'll tend and it was such a pleasure, and I hope to do business with you, Angelo, too.
No,
and
no
I'll
problem.
Definitely be referring you.
If you want me back on the show, just let me know.
Absolutely, and we'll. I want to pass it along to the affiliate members in other states as well, too, because sounds wonderful.
You have enough information there, Angelo. We could do Radon Radio.
You could, honest to God.
Radon
Radio. Boy, my head is swelling.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. You guys have a great day.
You too.
You
take
man.
It easy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wow. That is amazing.
And his website again
is avanticonstruction.com, and it's A-V-A-N-T-Y construction.com. And we were just listening to Angelo Bevetta. Did I say his name right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Beretta, I remember he said.
Yeah.
Bevetta like Beretta. Very, very
You should
cool.
look at this, Randy. You should get your house tested out in California. It doesn't cost much
I
money. You
better.
Really need, maybe you should. I think I'm going to do it too. All these years I've been in, I didn't do it, and I need to do it.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, we're in the process of checking out a whole lot of stuff, so that might not be a bad idea. Absolutely. Well, it is 12:30 here in California, 3:30 on the East Coast. Let me think. I could do the math. 9:30.
No, it used to be 10:30. It was 10:30, and now it's 9:30 after this past weekend, huh?
9:30 on the island of Maui, and Athena Moberg joins us. Hello. Aloha.
Hi. Aloha.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, Natalie. How's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's great to have you on today. Really looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Athena, let me just kind of give you a little bit of a bio. There's so much in terms of what she's involved with on the island of Maui. I think soon she'll be running for, mayor because she's connected there. But she's involved with the Maui County, of course, Business Development Organization, a Hawaii Merchant Association. She is an entrepreneur, a life coach, and teaches a class at the Maui County Business Resource Center on effective communication, and I want to kind of get into some of that here in just a few. But before we do that, Athena, why don't you kind of share a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got to where you are and why and how you ended up on Maui and all those kinds of things, maybe a little bit of your life coaching, and then we'll kind of dig into some of your course points here because I'm fascinated, of course, with effective communication, being in radio all these years and seeing it not be so effective in radio stations. Like you said in your one of your opening pieces here, you sent me, fascinating that the activity which occupies 70% of our waking hours is what we have the most difficulty with. That is so true. So let's dig into that in just a couple of minutes, but kind of give our listeners a little bit of a snapshot of who you are, why you do what you do, a little bit of your journey, if you would.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Randy. And, I've lived on the beautiful island of Maui since 2006. Moved here June of 2006 with my son, Jordan. Single mom, one boy. And I am originally from Ohio, and which is why Maui is so amazing.
The weather.
No more scraping of windshields.
Mm-hmm.
I did live in California, and my son did go to preschool all the way through middle school in California, and I was working for a mortgage banker. And prior to working for the mortgage banker that I worked for, I worked for an executive search firm as an executive assistant to one of the partners, and I worked with a business development team on a daily basis. So I really got to see just the benefits of someone that's really focused on one individual being focused on another person's business and just how that team concept helps that other person's business develop at such a rapid pace. It's not even as though when you add that one person that it doubles. It almost, to me, seems like it quadrupled or even more. So
wow.
That was fascinating for me, just being the assistant, sort of the third person of the team that was sort of coordinating everything. So had a passion for that just because just ever since I was even a kid, just had a passion for really seeing others reach their goals and really just inspires me to be a part of a team where other people are reaching their goals because I feel like, I don't know, it's just that synergy, that team concept. So at any rate, I took that experience to the mortgage company that I was working for. I got recruited out of one mortgage company into another, and long story short, I ended up working for Pacific Residential and really enjoyed working for them. Rick Gunzig was just the best boss ever and just an inspiration and mentor, and gave me the opportunity to move to Maui. So
wow.
I definitely was not going to. I had the conversation with them, you know, thank you so much for the offer. However, I am, you know, I'm raising my son by myself, and I really don't want to uproot him. I want him to sort of have all of the, you know, myself. I went to 6 different elementary schools. We moved a lot. I really didn't, you know, I didn't feel like I fit in because I was making new friends every time I blinked, you know. So I wanted to keep my son sort of grounded so that he would have all the same friends from preschool to graduation. Well, that was my view. That was my version of what I thought was best. My son actually overheard the conversation and in his most amazing California accent said, Mom, it's Maui. I'll make new friends.
Oh, brilliant.
So that is where my journey began, here on the island of Maui, June 29th, 2006, and I worked from home. I took him to school every day, picked him up. I was involved in all of his extracurricular activities. I worked my territory here. I, you know, really enjoyed what I was doing. And then, as everyone is very well aware, the crash happened. Just
yeah.
Real estate, mortgage, everything. Everyone could see it coming. No one wanted it to come. And so I found myself without a job. And I thought, gosh, what am I going to do? My company went under.
It did it, really? Wow, I'm surprised.
Oh,
it didn't make it through. Was it? Wow.
Yeah, no,
okay.
It didn't make it through. They went out of business. And
that was a mortgage company?
Yeah, it was a mortgage mortgage company. I worked for the Rick was a mortgage banker and broker.
Yeah.
So I started making lays and doing photography.
Wow.
And all the things that people do here on Maui to make money, and God provided. And I just, because I thought I was going to have to move back to the mainland, and it was very clear that that wasn't part of my plan. My plan was to be here, and that was God's plan for me, and he made it happen. So I had prior hospitality experience before I was, you know, working for the executive search firm. I had worked for a hotel very briefly, a Japanese business hotel called the Maruko, and the Ritz-Carlton hired me on the spot when I...
Great. Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. So, yeah, I still help out there on a casual basis and handle VIP clients and really enjoy that clientele, and the way that I got to doing what I'm doing now, I started Maui Business Development not too long ago, several months back. One of my colleagues from the Ritz-Carlton and I decided to train for a marathon. Her husband had cancer. She needed an outlet.
Mm.
That's what we did, is we trained for a marathon. So Victoria and I walked and walked and walked, and one day we were walking 19 miles, and we were talking about food, and she wanted to start a cinnamon roll company. And so... I said, wow, let's start a cinnamon roll company. Okay. So I just went out and, you know, she wanted to earn enough money to take her family to Disneyland because her husband did have cancer. They have 2 daughters. And I definitely wanted to see her reach her goal. There it was. That was that passion. I had a fire in me that I forgot even existed because living here on Maui, Natalie, as you know, and Randy, you as well.
Yeah.
You sort of lose your creative edge a little bit. You're on Maui.
Well, you just kind of, you're laid back, exactly. Things are a little different.
Well, I had this fire in me.
Yeah.
It was as though I was living in the Mecca of Orange County, just zooming around. And it wasn't long before she had her food permit, a kitchen to cook out of, several wholesale accounts.
Really? Wow.
Yes, and it was, I just had so much fun doing it. She wanted me to be her partner, and I was just like, but that's not, I don't even like cinnamon rolls. I just, that's not what I was excited about. I was excited about you and reaching your goals, so of course I'm not her partner. But I am proud and happy and blessed to say that she took her husband and their 2 daughters to Disneyland December 12th. She reached her goal, and not only did she reach her goal, her husband's cancer-free,
Wow.
And she is opening up Noka Oi cinnamon rolls made with aloha bake shop right in Whalers Village.
Oh, let me, it's Noka Oi. How do you, no, okay, wow, fantastic.
Noka Oi cinnamon rolls. The grand opening is Friday morning at 7 a.m. So,
wow, congratulations. That's wonderful.
If any of our listeners are going to be on Maui in a couple days, they definitely got to go by Whalers Village. So
Whalers Village, baby.
Whalers Village.
Wow. She must be on cloud nine with you as well, huh?
Oh, she's just incredible. She's a great friend. We really cheer each other on. She's a big dreamer. She has big goals, and she really encouraged me. She had that big goal of going to Disneyland, right, and opening up her own shop and all of that. She had these big, big goals, and she asked me what my goal was. And I have to tell you that there were, like, crickets in the room. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what my goal was. I said, I want to get a gym membership. Like, I didn't know. I was stumped. I was so focused on, I mean, being a single mom, you're focused on that other person. Being in business development, you're focused on other people. Being
right.
In sales, you're focused on other people. It's always about the other
person.
But in
women, we do that when we're, you know, for a while, and then we start to realize, wait a minute. But you, yeah.
Exactly. So I didn't know what to say, and she just kept telling me every day, dream big, dream big. So I came up with my big dream, and that was I want to be involved in the business community here on Maui. I want to serve my community in such a way that my income increases so that my husband doesn't have to be the sole source of income for our family, and that he can eventually retire from the business he's in and come work with me, and we can work together. That was my big goal. It's a big, big goal, and it's still my goal. And he and I talk about that goal on a daily basis, and I'm slowly but surely watching it come to fruition.
Wow.
It's really, really neat, and I'm just thankful that Victoria kept telling me, dream big, dream big. Remember, dream big. So I'm serving my community. I'm teaching classes. I'm speaking at workshops and seminars. I am just out there connecting with the community, and it's really, really, really incredible.
So, tell me what you're doing with the Maui, the business development. Are you actually dealing like say the Small Business Administration or Council? They're not the Small Business Administration, but I'm just giving an example. They'll counsel small businesses or counsel people in what your goals and dreams are. Is that what you're doing and when you're giving the classes or when you're speaking?
Actually, yeah, Natalie, it's a little bit of that. It's well, the way it all began after Victoria started her cinnamon roll business, I actually decided that I would join an entrepreneur group. And
oh, great.
So I joined a group, and I'm a member of the Lahaina Sunrise chapter of BNI, Business Networking International. And
so it's all women, Lahaina?
Actually, this particular group is not all women, but my first event that I held was all women.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was in Lahaina at the Lahaina Oceanfront Estate, fondly referred to as the White House because it's this big.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so amazing. And it was last September. It was 17 different vendors that I got all together under one roof. And I had 78 people show up, and I advertised.
Wow.
Everybody made great connections. Everybody sold their goods and talked about their services. I had live music. I had donated poo-poos or appetizers.
We, Randy and I are familiar, but our listeners might not be. Yeah.
What's a poo-poo?
So it was called the Inspired and Connected Women's Night Out, and I'm actually going to be making that an annual event at the White House. And it really just lit a fire in me that I didn't just need to help somebody whose husband had cancer. I could actually really
help
get
everybody.
Inspired by other people in business and just equipping them with the tools they need to be successful and adding value to their lives. So
that's fantastic.
Kind of we talked to Bob Berg, remember, in his book The Go Giver, but about the lifestyle. You know, as you talk, Athena, I think about the book The Go Giver, where you know the lifestyle of giving. And how that's, you know, and it's really based on, you know, that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, and everything else will be added. And if your desire is to add value to people, to bless them, you know, you'll have everything financially you need. And it seems like it's happening before your very eyes. That's cool.
Wow.
It really is. It really is. It's been so incredible just to see when I'm with a group of people and I'm teaching a workshop, or when I have a business owner or someone in front of me, and that light bulb moment happens where
mm-hmm.
I'm asking them the tough questions, and all of a sudden there's that pause and the light bulb comes on. It's so rewarding and incredible.
Isn't it? Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Well,
really
amazing.
Doing that.
I know a female entrepreneur that you might be involved with here shortly, because right, Natalie? I mean,
oh, absolutely. I have to get in touch with you next month. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny, when I went back to Hawaii, I lived in Hawaii. I lived on the islands for 3 years as a kid. And then I was a single mom with my son, too. And I had been an army brat and born in France, and I didn't want to move my son all over the place. So I kept him in one community. When he was 21, I said, it's time for me to go back to Hawaii, you know? And at first I was checking out like Annapolis and different areas in Maryland, because I need to be near the water. And my son said to me, I knew I wanted to go back to Hawaii, but I was also checking it, maybe doing it in a few years, not right then, but I wanted to also do it when my son was in an age where he wouldn't be married, because if he was married with grandchildren, I wouldn't have gone, right? So I started going, but he said to me, kind of like he was saying to me, Mom, Annapolis, Hawaii, like, what are you waiting for? Like, go now. and I did, you know, and it's the same thing. But that's something I hear you, and totally, because if he had said don't, I wouldn't have gone. If your son would have said, Mom, don't, you wouldn't have gone, right?
Exactly.
And it's kind of neat. It's kind of neat that that's that women part of us, but that's being a good mom, too. And I just think it's an interesting story how you did it. And how's your son? Does your son go surfing, or does he love the ocean, I would assume?
He absolutely, when he was living here, he absolutely loved the ocean. He was down there at the ocean every single day. And I'm proud to say he graduated Lahaina Luna High School with honors. And
great.
He's a homecoming king and the what do you call that, the captain of the swim team and everything.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. That was in 2010. And he is...
Wow.
He's now a United States Marine.
Good. Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. He's stationed in Texas right now, and he's a cryptological linguistics specialist in the Mandarin language.
Wow. That'll work well coming back to Hawaii in the future. in Honolulu.
I'm praying he gets here soon. I'm praying he gets stationed here. That would be amazing.
That is wonderful. Wow.
We are talking to Athena Moberg, and she's with the Maui Business Development Organization, Hawaii Merchants Association, and you know, we're going to absolutely have to have you back on, Athena, to go through some of the communication course that you that you have. But let's kind of touch on it. And first of all, is there what's a good contact place for you on the web? Is there a website or a Facebook page?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, my website is MauiBusinessDevelopment.com.
Wow, that's a great one to get, too.
Thank you.
MauiBusinessDevelopment.com. Okay.
Yes, it is. It's currently under construction for probably just a few more days. I'm adding some content. I just completed some certifications and have been really focusing on getting some one-on-one life coaching clients, really just that one-on-one connection. And I'm still doing all the workshops and speaking at seminars and so forth, but I really wanted to add the professional life coaching to my website so that people
Fantastic.
Didn't feel like, oh, well, I got to go sit in some group to speak with Athena. You
right.
know, I want them to feel like they can reach me one-on-one and have that dedicated time. So
fantastic.
Wow,
well,
very,
congratulations.
Very cool.
You're very much an inspiration. This is,
thank
that
you
is
so
great.
Much. I look forward to meeting you, Natalie.
Oh, you too.
Yeah.
We'll be doing that soon. We'll have to get Randy and Monica back over sometime, too.
Yes, please.
We will be. We're working on it. We're working on it. And, yeah, I figured you guys might hit it off because some similarities in your stories and definitely similarities, you know, in your – you know, in your personality types, in your passion to love other people, help other people, and then just the bulldog tenacity that both of you have.
Well, when you've been single moms, that you kind of learn how to, you don't take no for an answer, and you have to get things done, right? Because life
absolutely.
Has to work.
Amen,
yeah.
sister.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
It's incredible how that bleeds over into every other area of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just when faced with certain business situations, and it's amazing out of nowhere if someone's, dealing with one of my clients in a way that I don't feel is right, it's almost like that mama bear comes out.
exactly, yep.
Yeah.
I know. It's definitely.
But I'm really enjoying it.
It's wonderful. Life's great that way. And it sounds like you're really doing, you're really serving, and that's what it's all about, you know? It really is.
Yeah.
I feel like,
helping people to get to that next level.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so rewarding, and I'm just really enjoying this season of my life.
Wow, congratulations.
So, Athena, talk to us for the, we've got about 6, maybe 7 minutes left,
okay.
And we can at least kind of maybe hit some of the tops of the waves in terms of your effective communication class that you teach at the Maui County Business Resource Center. And, you know, as we said at the top of the show, it's interesting that, you know, this thing that occupies so much of our time is the thing that's most difficult. And in reality, I think a lot of us have to learn how to effectively communicate on the fly. We've not really been taught it. Why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of your class and maybe some of the couple of the points that you cover in that?
Okay, thank you, Randy. Well, as you mentioned, I love to point out at the beginning of the class, it really raises some eyebrows. It is 70% average of our waking hours are spent communicating, and so many people. Just some of the things that I bring out and sort of mention. A lot of us, like you said, were never taught to communicate in a healthy way when we were growing up. Why is that? Because our parents weren't taught to communicate in a healthy way, and neither were their parents or their parents. It wasn't really like, you know, back in the day when they were washing everything in a bucket or out there, you know, with covered wagons. They were like, well, we really just need to talk about our feelings. And, you know, I really want to make sure that you are heard. And if I'm understanding you correctly, what you really want me to do with this covered wagon, I mean, it wasn't really like that. It's a little bit more something.
Bring me the axe! Bring me the axe!
The men aren't going to talk anyhow, so as much. So that's the problem, too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, most of communication, I mean, everybody knows the whole 80-20 rule, you know, listen 80% of the time, speak 20, you have 2 ears, 1 mouth, figure it out, do the math. But it's, I mean, when you really break it down and you really let people know ahead of time, hey, it's not just you, it's everyone. Everyone experiences frustration and conflicts and breakdowns and resistance when it comes to communication with people, especially those that are closest to us or in a work situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some of the obstacles that I love to bring to people's attention that can help prevent them when you really start to think about some of the reasons why communication breaks down, I mean, here's just a few reasons, and they're very familiar to every person. It's almost like everybody's sort of nodding the whole time I'm sharing. But, you know, we want to be heard, and we want to be listened to, but we don't always concentrate on the quality of the message that we're giving. We don't consider our audience or even know if we're speaking their language or not. So oftentimes when we go off on sort of a, you know, this is what I want you to do or this is what I'm thinking about, we don't even sort of check in with them to find out if the first half of our message that we're communicating to them or the first few words or anything were even received successfully. We just sort of keep on talking. So, and then oftentimes when we're the listener in the communication, you know, we know and we understand the message that the other person is communicating to us, but our ability to actually truly listen to them wholeheartedly is, you know, sort of skewed or tainted by our, you know, preconceived notions or our perceptions of what they might be speaking, or we automatically figure out the outcome and we jump to the end going, oh, well, I already know what they're going to say. So I can, you know, and you don't even realize that you're doing it at sometimes. Like, they'll stop talking and you'll almost have to go, what, could you repeat that last part? Because you already jumped to the end. I mean, I can only
right, because they have so many things on their mind, they're not even really paying attention. That's it.
Exactly. Especially in this fast-paced world that we live in that is just so all about, you know, I mean, everybody's all about, you know, faster communication. Everybody's connected. Social media, connect. But we're not really connecting if you look at it. I mean, to strengthen, I really love to give people 10 questions to sort of ask themselves, to sort of monitor and gauge how they are communicating. And I know I won't have time for all 10 of them, but I'll just go down a couple of the questions that I give them, and I actually hand out a worksheet, and they get to take it with them, tape it up on their wall, remember it, whatever. But I've had some great feedback. So number one, am I taking full responsibility for the message being heard by the other person? It's not even about what I say. It's about what the other person hears. Did I respect the other person's point of view? Do I have a reaction to what they're saying that prevented me from listening to their full message? Did the other person feel heard and understood when they were talking to me? Did I even acknowledge them? If I was asking someone to take a specific action, did I make my request clear? Like my husband, for instance, this morning, I know we won't have time for probably any more, but I'd love to come back on your show sometime.
Oh, we'd love you to. That'd be great.
Just a quick, funny example. This morning, my husband and I were having our morning devotions together, and we do one called Moments with You by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. And it was talking about a process or a method that you can implement into your marriage that will keep you from overcommitting, you know, like leaving margins in your time. And so we developed together a method or a process so that we could actually have a margin in our time so that we wouldn't feel so rushed and overcommitted. I kept saying what I really meant, and he was like, So this is what you want me to say. Like I told him, you know, the best way for you to encourage me to have margin in my time is to ask me how I'm doing. Like if you tell, because my husband always says, you got to give yourself permission to just take a few minutes to yourself. You got to give yourself permission.
Right.
But when he starts the sentence with "you gotta," I tune out immediately because I have enough on my "you gotta" plate.
Exactly.
Like I can't. I don't even hear what he says after that. But if he says, "How are you?" You know, my prayer for you is that you'll really take a few minutes to yourself today. Immediately, I receive that because he used an I statement instead of a you statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a huge light bulb moment for my husband this morning because he never knew that. Whenever he starts something with "you gotta" or "you should" or "if I were you, I would do this," it's almost like I don't even realize I'm doing it, but I'm tuning him out completely. And oftentimes, that's what we do, and it's not even intentional. Our breakdowns in communication are often
the anchors and buzzwords. Yep, you're right.
Yeah. So
amazing.
I think it's just so huge. It really is. Just using I think if I could leave somebody with a takeaway today, if they're just tuning in, you know, when you're communicating with someone, try using a statement that starts with I instead of you and just watch all the walls come falling down. You're instantly heard. It's amazing.
You know, it's interesting. We, Monica and I, in our, you know, in our marriage stuff, absolutely, we talk about that, the use of, you know, the I words. And how you frame something means everything, you know, how you approach it. But as it occurs to me, because you're teaching these things in, you know, in a setting that's not necessarily marriage, you know, more just interpersonal human, you know, dynamics. So it really applies across the board, but definitely in the marriage arena as well, huh?
And it's a lifelong thing. So if you can give people the tools through your workshop to do this and they start really, you know, creating habits and learning to do it consistently, it can change their life. And that's awesome.
It really is.
Athena Moberg, awesome.
Yeah.
Very
thank
cool.
you.
We have like 1 minute.
We get down to where it's just going to cut us off. So we're about that point there. So,
they call
hey,
it a heartbreak.
Yeah, it's wonderful having you on. We'll have to have you on again. I hope to meet you soon, too.
I absolutely would love that. Thank you so much,
touch.
Natalie, and thank you, Randy.
Thank you, and we will talk soon. It's getting ready to take us. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.